You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I received a couple of phone calls today taking me to task and calling me anti-Semitic because of the remarks I made last night about the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. You know, I am just so sick of this racist crap. I can't stand it. I'm probably the only one on radio who is absolutely for everybody, no matter what their race or religion is. And I am sick of these people who believe that if you criticize an organization that is clearly, with any study, not in their favor or the rest of our favor, and is clearly a racist organization, and I'm against it, then all of a sudden, I'm anti-Semitic. And it's bullshit. I'm tired. I'm sick and tired of this crap. You know, if you think Israel is the most important thing in the world, get your ass over to Israel. Get over there. Take a risk for Israel. Serve in their armed forces. Help protect that country. Live there. Be subject to their economy. Get over there. I'm tired of your bitching and moaning and racist crap. And all you black people who isolate yourself in ghettos and blame it all on the white man. Now, I've never owned a slave in my life. I've done everything I can to help the black people that's in my power to do. And I'm tired of hearing this stuff. I'm tired of being called honky. I'm tired of being blamed for all your problems. You have problems because you won't get off your ass and do anything about them. I'm sick of hearing the Native American whine and cry about how he's been destroyed by the United States government. Hell, that happened so many years ago, it's pathetic. Are you going to make a life for yourself? Or are you going to be a permanent victim crying and whining and immersing yourself in a ball of alcohol until you're just pickled? What the hell's the matter with you people? And the Japanese. You want to find racism? Go to Japan. You can live in Japan all your life, contribute to their society. I mean, make some major contributions and, you know, get to be friends with a lot of people, and you're never, ever accepted in Japan because you're a gaijin, which means foreigner. Y'all make me sick. Then they got these white supremacists running around. Hey, if you ain't white and you ain't Christian, you don't belong in this world. Well, screw you. I'm in this world, and you ain't going to stop me from being here. And I'm part Native American. So I ain't white in anybody's book, according to your definition. If you got one speck of the blood from any other race, you're not white. So I guess that makes me not white. So screw you, buddy. Then you got all these little Nazi skinhead jerk-off jerks running around talking about bringing into the world the Fourth Reich, calling themselves right-wing conservatives. Hitler was a socialist. You're all a bunch of socialists. Everywhere I see a Nazi community, you're practicing socialism, communism. You'll lie to yourselves all the time. You're just a bunch of liars. All of you. I mean, it's just absolutely pathetic, and I'm sick of it. Anti-Semitic my ass. That won't wash with me, folks. I have probably done more to dispel the myth of the Jews that are taking over the world than anybody. I've done everything I can to help the Native American and the blacks and help everybody understand what's going on in this world and what it means for all of us, and that we have one common uniting bond that if we don't discover it and get behind it, we're all going to be slaves and this New World Order. And that common uniting bond is freedom. But you don't understand. You can't have freedom. I don't give a damn who you are. I don't care what race you are. I don't care what religion you follow. You can't have freedom unless you're willing to give it to the next man, and the next man, and the next man, and to other religions, and to other races. If you're not willing to do that, you can't have freedom. And I'm tired of hearing all this crap. I'm tired of hearing the whining and the crying. World War II was a terrible thing. Millions and millions of people lost their lives. I don't hear anybody crying about the millions of GIs and soldiers who lost their lives so that those in the concentration camps could be freed. All I ever hear about is the Holocaust and how the victims of the Holocaust are somehow elevated to some pedestal somewhere. Bullshit! Tired of hearing it. It's old news. Get over it. Let's move on to something better. I'm tired of the American Indian talking about Wounded Knee. Wounded Knee happened 100 years ago. Get over it. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and let's get on with life. I'm tired of hearing it. Tired of hearing the Chinese complain about how they came to this country and they were used for slave labor on the railroads. Hell, they weren't either. They went and applied for those jobs and they were glad to get them. And that's the truth. And I think the ones that worked on the railroads were damn proud of their accomplishment. And yeah, it was hard work for low pay. But it was work. I'm tired of the unions crying about how their members can't make $16 an hour on the automobile assembly line when all the guy did in his whole life was wait for a door to pass by and he tightened one bolt and for that he got $16 an hour. I'm sick of this stuff. I'm sick of people whining and crying and being the victim. I'm sick of hearing women, every woman I meet, tell me how she was abused by her father. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just a mathematical impossibility that every woman in this country was sexually assaulted by their father. It's bullshit. It's a way for women to get over. You don't hear them saying that when they're home. In front of their father. Just when they're far away, nobody knows their father and can't talk to their father or their mother to find out if it's true. It's the politically correct thing to do is to be a victim today. And everybody's got to be a victim. Aren't you just sick of it? Aren't you sick of being a victim? Can't you stand on your own two feet and take responsibility for your life and move on? Tonight we're going to talk about what's going on up in Seattle, Washington, and what does it mean to the rest of us? Who are these protesters? What are they protesting for? What does it mean? What is the World Trade Organization? And why are all these people protesting the World Trade Organization for the subjects that they're protesting about? And how did it get so organized? My God, you know, when Congress was passing the legislation to create the World Trade Organization, we couldn't get anybody in this country to demonstrate. And they all knew what it meant. It was everywhere.
Tell me that you're leaving. I can't believe it's true. Girl, there's just no living without you. Don't take your love away from me. Don't you leave my heart in misery. if you go, then I'll be blue. Breaking up is hard to do. Remember when you held me tight and you kissed me all through the night. Think of all that we've been through. Breaking up is hard to do. Say that breaking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up again.
Yeah, folks, most of you don't realize it, but the Anti-Defamation League membership is only open to Jews. Did you know that they oppose and denigrate and lie about and put out the worst propaganda you've ever seen in your life about militias in this country, yet they support the Jewish Defense League, which is a Jewish militia? A militia, by the way, operating in this country has been termed by the FBI to be a terrorist organization and has bombed businesses and residences in this country of people that they didn't like. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of black crime. Most of the crime committed in this country is committed by blacks on blacks. Did you know that? I'm sick of it. I am opposed to any organization that is racist. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they purport to be helping. I just don't give a damn. And the rest of you better get on my side, or we're never going to have any freedom. Never. What do you think, splitting the hell out of everything? And you think this is just an accident? You think little black children are born? Thinking all little white children are honkies and are responsible for their ancestors being slaves? Now, I don't know any little white kids today living that ever owned a slave, do you? I'm sick of it. I'm just absolutely sick of it. There's no such thing as a superior race. I don't care what race it happens. There is no superior race. The Jews are not superior to any other body. The blacks are not superior. The whites are not superior. The Orientals are not superior. The Native Americans are not superior. We are human, and there's only one race in my book, and that's the human race. Get used to it, because that's the way it's going to be at some point in the future. If you can't deal with that, I don't think you're going to be around for very long, to tell you the truth, and I don't care whether you like that or not. You shouldn't be around. If all you're going to cause is heartaches and misery and violence and terrible things happening to other people, to take all you hateful people, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you profess, I don't care what race you are or what religion you belong to, ought to take you all of you and put you on one small deserted island out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. I bet you'd learn to live with each other then. If you didn't, we sure wouldn't have to worry about you anymore, because you'd kill each other real quick, and whoever was left would have to make peace with whoever else was left, or you'd just exterminate each other till there was only one person left, and as soon as that person got old and died, that'd be the end of you. That's what we ought to do. And I'm not kidding. I really believe that. I really do. The only problem is, who's going to pick you out and how are we going to know? And I'm afraid some innocent people would get caught in the process, and I don't want that to happen. Like the ADL, anybody who criticizes anything that any Jewish organization or the state of Israel does automatically is labeled and branded an anti-Semite and is persecuted by the entire Jewish community. And that's sick. Anybody who criticizes black organizations is labeled a racist. I'll tell you, there's some sick people out there, and you're making a sick world. And part of that sick world is really, really causing a lot of problems up in the state of Washington. And I'm not talking about the so-called anarchists who wore black clothes and black masks and went around painting buildings and smashing windows and stealing stuff. Those weren't anarchists anyway. Those people were organized and paid to do what they did. Organized and paid to do what they did. And those demonstrations are organized down to the last T and were organized well before the World Trade Organization ever had a meeting up there. And who are they? And what do they want? Let's open the phones and see if you know anything about it. We'll talk about it. See what's going on up there, and I'll set you straight sometime this evening if it doesn't come out during the phone calls. I think it will. I think there's some smart people out there that listen to this broadcast, and I think you know what's going on. Number's 520-333-4578, and also for Marshall, the millionaire. You know, I know exactly who he is. He's tried to buy me twice. He sends me tons of email messages, all full of rumor and bullshit and crap. And I write back to him and I tell him, this is bullshit. Don't send me this kind of stuff. Send me only good stuff that's been researched or confirmed and send me the documentation. He won't do it. Keeps filling my mailbox with bullshit, crap, lies, rumors, all this kind of crap. So what I did was I barred him from my server, locked him out. That's what made him mad. And that's why he called last night. And he tried to buy me by saying, I was going to contribute $100,000 to your television project, but now I'm not going to contribute anything. He doesn't have a nickel to his name. Good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. The World Trade Organization is part of the UN. Every single one of those so-called non-governmental organizations up there is an accredited non-governmental organization of the United Nations.
Yep, they're also what else?
They are all communist socialist groups.
Absolutely, 100% correct. You get a big star on the bulletin board, you get an A in my book, you just graduated, my friend.
Now, confirmation of that. You can go to a website called The Militant. On there, it'll decry the America Firsters. It'll say the America Firsters are bad. That what we're seeing now is the beginning of a new proletarian movement within the United States and throughout the world.
Yeah, when they talk about the proletariat, what are they talking about?
They're talking about class warfare.
Yeah, and a new worldwide Soviet Union.
Exactly. Now,
I like you.
This is classic thesis. The thesis is World Trade Organization.
Yeah.
Supported by Rush Limbaugh.
Yep.
The antithesis is these environmental groups who are supposedly going to represent the working people, correct?
That's correct.
Which is all bullshit, because the environmental groups and all these non-governmental organizations are supported by the same people that are in the WTO meeting.
And what are they doing in their normal activities? They put working men out of work.
Exactly. So basically...
By the way, Flush Limbaugh is a Freemason, and he's also a closet Marxist.
Well?
He backs all the Marxist cause. He backed NAFTA, he backed GATT, and now he's backing this crap.
And this is all it is. It's to see who is going to wield power in the totalitarian, one-world, socialistic government. And you know what I'm sick and tired of, Bill? I'm sick and tired of the media, the socialist media, using capitalism to make buku bucks. And the patriots sitting out here wanting everything for free, and they complain about not having any money, Bill.
Yep, you got it. Not only that, but what else are all these patriots doing? They're doing everything they can, filing every paper they can, joining every program they can, to get every nickel from the government for what they consider to be free that they possibly can.
And they shouldn't get a dime of it. They shouldn't want a dime of it, Bill.
That's right.
They should get off their asses and get to work.
They should be like my friend Tim, who gave up over $100,000 that they wanted to give him to buy him with.
Because this is still the United States of America, Bill, and you can still make those well.
I would argue that point with you. It's not the United States of America. It hasn't been for a long time.
Well, I understand.
At least not the one that I was taught that we are supposed to be a part of.
I understand that, and I agree with you 100%. But it's still a place where you can make those little tokens or those little pieces of paper called Federal Reserve notes that you can buy or you can trade for
stuff that's really worth something.
Right. So get off your asses, you patriots sitting out there, and get to work.
Don't call them patriots. You're being too kind to them. They're not patriots.
But that's what they call themselves.
I know that's what they call themselves, but they're not.
Have a good night.
They don't even know the meaning of the word. Thanks for calling.
You bet.
Great call. That was an educated man. 520-333-4570. What do you think about what's going on up in Washington? And it's okay to disagree as long as you're polite, and as long as you don't try to hog the broadcast, as long as you give me a chance to discourse with you, have a conversation. Gee, everybody thinks I'm against people who disagree with me. That's not true. If you have an intelligent argument and you're polite, you're welcome to bring your argument to this broadcast. Nobody's going to jump down your throat until you act like just a complete jerk. And then, yeah, I'll get you, because I don't suffer few fools. And I think you all know that. 520-333-4570. What is it that they're protesting against? What is it that these people are protesting against? Come on, let's hear from you. We got to hear from you. What is it that they're protesting against? Don't tell me that you guys haven't been paying any attention, that you don't know what these protests are all about. What is it that they're protesting against the World Trade Organization? 520-333-4578. And whatever it is they're protesting, should we jump on their bandwagon or not? I mean, is it legitimate protest? 520-333-4578. Is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, they're protesting the fact that a lot of the leftist legislation that they put through could be in jeopardy, they think, with the World Trade Organization. I personally think they're not mistaken that the legislation will be far worse than anything that they can possibly imagine, but I believe that that's their motivation.
Well, what is the legislation? I mean, do you know what it is?
They think that it's going to... weaken the environmental laws that they've passed.
Where?
In the United States and in other countries.
Well, I think you're wrong about one thing. I don't think it's ever going to weaken the environmental laws in the United States. What they're worried about is the other countries.
Oh, I thought that... you could be right. The part that I got was that they were complaining about the environmental laws in the United States being weakened, that they made so many great strides forward with their leftist agenda, that they just be weakened because they have the perception that this is a corporate world takeover, when in fact it's the United Nations takeover.
Yeah, have you seen any environmental laws weakened in this country?
No, I never have.
In fact, every year they get worse and worse, don't
they? Every year, yeah. But somehow the left is financing this and supporting it, and Clinton's playing right along with it.
Well, of course, it's just exactly what the first caller said. It's the old Marxist game of Hegelian dialectic, where there's a thesis, antithesis, and the clash of the two presents the synthesis. And Clinton's agreeing with it, and he's sympathizing with the protesters and also with the World Trade Organization, because the whole gist of the thing is you have to have a world-controlling body in order to tell all these other nations what they have to do.
Precisely.
And they think that the American people are so stupid they can't figure this thing out. And it's the first thing that hit everybody that I know right between the eyes. I mean, I didn't even have to tell most people. They picked it up just like that.
Yeah, I've been hearing it since the first protest came that it was financed and organized by the left for the promotion of the Hegelian dialectic for that. Interesting side note was that today, Clinton said, today, children, for the first, I don't know exactly what his quote was, but it was rather amusing about how today children won. And I thought to myself, you know, it wasn't that many years ago when they didn't win too good in Waco with this being gassed and burned. So these people that love the children so much.
But what was it they won today?
Oh, no more child labor.
Yeah, well, you know, in this country, they've had laws against the abuse of child labor for many, many years. So what's it directed at? It's directed at other nations.
Correct.
And, but, you know, other nations have to join the World Trade Organization and adopt their charter as a treaty, join NAFTA or GATT before they're subject to it.
Yeah, I wonder if companies like Whack and Hook and the massive prison industries going on worldwide are going to be affected by the by this GATT agreement.
I have no idea. Probably.
You think so?
Yeah.
So, well, that's pretty good when they attempt to round up political prisoners, that the political prisoners will be under GATT, and folks that are unfortunate enough to get caught up on it can say, now, wait a minute here. Page 12, paragraph 18 says you can only work me 8 hours a day. Being a prisoner here at this camp that you've set up for me.
Ah, but the key is they will work them, and they'll work them for nothing.
Right.
And they will compete with private business until there isn't any more private business. And what's going to disappear is going to be the small businessman.
Right. Yeah. Unions, I think, will be history as well. I understand that some time ago they went to organize a Ford plant down in Mexico, and the state police came in, opened fire with a bunch of AKs, and set back the work boys, and that was the end of the union activity over there.
Yeah, well, that's what happens with people with no balls. Try that in the United States, and you'll find a few militia companies firing back at them.
Well, fortunately, we live in a country where the militia is not only authorized, it's expected. So
not only expected, it's in the law.
Exactly. Fortunately, the country was founded by militias, so. Let somebody else get in.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Yep, bye.
Appreciate it. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you disagree with any of this, we'd like to have you call. If you're one of these people who believe in what's going on up there in Seattle, call us. Talk to us. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
This is Greg. I'm calling from New Mexico. I really liked a lot what the first caller said, but there was something that else I wanted to throw in.
Okay.
I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, take a deep breath and relax.
On the Knight Ridder newspapers today, reported on the Seattle riots, etc. And I was wondering if I could read you one sentence.
Sure, go ahead.
They said, unlike GATT, which has no enforcement powers, the World Trade Organization has an enforceable commercial code.
Yes, it does.
The only such international body in the world, except for the United Nations Security Council.
That's correct.
Now, it strikes me that with these quote-unquote protesters who resort to violence, of course, some of them do, it seems like this... in a way...
Now, remember, that's not ordinary people resorting to violence. That's all staged. It's organized and staged, and it has a political purpose behind it.
Yes, I'm taking that as a given. But for the sheeple out there watching the tube, I think what it also is doing is it's a way of diffusing opposition against the WTO. In that, let's see. Okay, if I can use another situation as a parallel. In the Federalism Executive Order that Clinton signed, the first one, 1383, it looked almost like to identify his opposition. Then he retracted it and then issued the new sanitized version.
Mm-hmm.
I get the same kind of idea of what I'm seeing on Seattle streets, in that now the World Trade Organization can, quote-unquote, address these concerns and then make it look like, we are listening to the common man. We are. And you and I know it's a sham.
Yeah.
You see where I'm going with that.
And at the same time, beg the position that they're victims of all this violence.
Right.
Yeah, I see exactly where you're going.
And the other thing was...
Typical socialism.
Totally. The typical shell game.
Yeah.
The other thing was, I got a glimpse on some of the different media outlets of these so-called anarchists, and they were all dressed identically. And I'm thinking, isn't a uniform, by definition, sort of not very anarchist?
They're not anarchists.
Yeah, I know.
They were hired, trained, paid, and given an agenda and told, and they were all organized and set loose at once. They didn't appear one by one
in
different stores. They appeared all together. Anarchists don't do that. They appeared all together in concert with each other and attacked certain specific things. And it was very interesting to see that when they attacked the Nike building, that some of them were wearing Nike shoes.
And I also found it pretty interesting that they actually knew, the press seemed to know where these quote-unquote anarchists were coming from. They said they're all coming from Eugene, Oregon. I don't really know how they knew that, but I think it's interesting that everyone seemed to know where these well-equipped anarchists came from.
And also another thing along those lines is, how did the press know exactly where to be with those cameras when these people hit?
It's just a little bit too convenient.
It's smooth, man.
It's
like old Gorbachev was back in the Soviet Union orchestrating the movements of the KGB, huh?
I think you're exactly right. I hadn't thought of that, but I think you're exactly right. If I could make one more point before I get off the phone.
Go ahead.
With the sentence I read earlier where it said about the World Trade Organization having an enforceable commercial code.
Yeah, they do. I did a couple of broadcasts about a long time ago.
Oh, 5 years ago, because you and I and only a few other people actually tried to get the thing stopped.
That's right.
Now, it seems to me, and I think you'd agree, at least in theory, that what it appears to me the World Trade Organization does is it's shifting sovereignty away from countries and shifting it basically to the banks. I mean, what I'm saying is...
You have to understand that they have a whole bunch of different contingencies plans all running at once.
Right.
They have the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, all of these, the International Monetary Fund. So if one fails, they have the others to fall back on. They don't care which one ends up with portions of the control over all nations or all of the control over all nations, or if all of them end up with different total control over all nations. It still takes them toward their one world government, and anything that takes them toward that goal is what they will support.
I agree. Even when they seem to be at odds with each other, they're just differing over the methods to get to the same goal.
That's exactly right.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you for calling.
Have a good night.
Who was that masked man? He rode in here, wreaked havoc with the socialists, and rode off into the sunset, and he was exactly right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Well, Bill, that guy's on the right track. You know, I remember good old Tricky Dick and his praising of the silent majority. Well, he was quietly making deals with Red Chinese and other people and telling all the sheeple, oh, look at all those horrible radicals out in the streets and la-da-da-da-da. It's the same thing going on here.
Yeah.
These people are there. This is the rehashed 1960s radical in the streets, designed to make the establishment look good and legitimate. In other words, to make Clinton and his coterie look legitimate.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what's going on here.
But what was Nixon doing when he praised the silent majority? What was he doing?
I don't know, I guess.
He was saying that was a great thing to be, that you should stay silent, that it was wonderful
that
we had this great silent majority. And everybody thought, oh, yeah, because I'm not making waves and I'm not speaking up and I'm not doing anything. I'm one of the great silent majority and I'm good.
Yep.
Bullshit! You just condemn this country to eons of communism in the future.
That's right.
Stupid jerks.
You know, that's what the Nixon with his good old spiritual advisor, Billy Graham, and a few other people I could think of that.
Yeah.
That's just one example.
Billy Graham's a 33rd degree Freemason, professes to believe in God. How many times do you ever hear him say the word Jesus?
Well, I don't listen to him say anything. I can't stand him. So.
Yeah. Well, you don't hear him say it very often unless he's hard pressed to do it.
But this is, this is the old drill. Make the suit socialist, the suit revolutionary, look legitimate by paying a mob to go into the streets and defenestrate the buildings. It's an old trick, and it's been working for centuries.
You got it, bro.
Let you go.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye bye.
520-333-457. We haven't heard from anybody who disagrees. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Jim in Glenhead, New York.
Hi, Glenn.
I take it you're not on either side of this issue, or you're not on the side of the WTO or the labor unions?
That's right.
Okay. I just wanted to get that clear. Your transmission's not exactly...
I'm 100% against socialism. 100% against it. And I'm 100% against any organization that on a world basis can dictate to the United States what it has to do. And the World Trade Organization has that authority if you have adopted their charter and signed the treaty.
I'm going to make this call brief, but I just want to say about those mass graves south of the border down there, you better have some kind of rifle and ammunition down there on the ready. I'm going to let you go. Bye now.
Well, wait a minute. Explain what you're talking about.
Well, you know, they got mass graves down in Mexico, you know?
Yeah, but that was part of drug wars.
Yeah, well, you know, it could be like this, 100 bodies in a mass grave this year, next year it could be 500, you know, if it escalates.
Yeah, but this...
I wouldn't give up my gun, you know?
Well, I wouldn't give up my gun for anything in the
exactly.
world, no matter what. But it has nothing to do with those mass graves, and so far it's only 6 people they've discovered, and it could be a lot more, it could be 100, could be more than 100. I don't know, but they're fighting. But it was, wait a minute, give me a chance to say what I have to say, and then you'll have your chance. This is about drug dealers warring against each other to take control of who's going to bring drugs into this country. And I'll guarantee you that at the very bottom behind all of it was the intelligence community to begin with. Go ahead, it's your turn.
Okay, well, I guess you're right, but we agree that the Second Amendment should not be given up.
Absolutely, 100%. You are 100% correct.
I'm sorry, I changed the subject. We're on the subject of Seattle tonight, right?
Yeah, but, that, you know, what's happening in Seattle could happen in other places, and all these black-uniformed, Nike-shod, ski-mask individuals could be busting into your store, and there's nothing better to stop it than a 12-gauge shotgun right in the chest.
All right. I'll let you go now.
Thanks a lot.
Good night.
You know, it's funny that during the L.A. riots, the Koreans who armed themselves with shotguns and rifles and pistols were admired by the press and held up as an example because they protected their businesses. What do you think would have happened if those would have been white business owners that had armed themselves with shotguns and rifles and pistols to protect their businesses? What do you think the press would have said then, folks? 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm just tired of all the bullshit. I don't take bullshit from anybody. Not anybody in this whole world. Period. I quit a long time ago. I drew the line in the sand. You step over that line, I'm going to chop you down into mincemeat. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
I have a
I need you to talk a lot louder.
I have a little different view on the WTO.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think that the WTO is controlled by corporate czarists.
Czarists?
Such as ABM, Monsanto. All these companies are producing bio-engineered foods. And I believe that that is a way of controlling the people by controlling the seeds that the farmers will have.
Well, you're absolutely correct. But what difference does it make whether it's controlled by corporations or controlled by political movements or anything else if they're telling nations as a world body? If nations are becoming subject to their dictates, which means nations are not sovereign anymore.
That's right. And I think what's happened with this type of system, the farmers are going to lose the sovereignty over their seeds. Because when you go into these bioengineered seeds, you sign a contract stating that you do not own them, and all you're doing is just growing them for that company.
Yeah, but you know what? If you were a farmer, why would you buy into that bullshit? Why wouldn't you use regular seeds rather than that kind of stuff?
It's beyond me.
Then farmers could establish co-ops and so that they could propagate the seed and make it available to other farmers.
Well, it's just like a car. You know, everybody wants a new shiny car, new gadgetry, new faster, shinier. And I think with these...
Yeah, they don't want to pay for it either. They want to get it on credit.
Well, you've got a good show, Bill. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
520-333-4578. You see, to me, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters who's behind it. But what matters most is we cannot give in to world bodies that are going to control us. You know, if the world wants to be a part of the United States of America, and they want to become states under our Constitution, I'm all for it. All for it if they want to do that. But for us to give up our rights and our protection under our Constitution, hell no, I won't go. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Gary from Connecticut.
Hi, Gary.
Well, what I think it is, it's just like you've been saying for years. Most of these organizations that are protesting in Seattle have been big world order, New World Order supporters, big United Nations biosphere, the whole nine yards, global warming, all that stuff. Now that this stuff is coming into fruition, they see how much it stinks.
You really think they see how much it stinks? I don't think that that's right.
Okay.
Well, don't give up. I mean, support your position. Give me an argument.
Well,
people really so afraid of me?
No, I'm not afraid of you. I just think that these, you know, whatever you want to call the environmental people that are protesting, they see the New World Order flexing its muscles and they don't like it. And they're getting stomped on.
But what is it that they don't like?
Well,
do you really know what they're protesting down there? I mean,
well,
up there, it's up from here. might be down from where you're at. I don't know. Could be sideways. Who knows?
Basically, I think what they're... You know something, Bill? I got to confess to you. I'm not really clear what the hell they're protesting.
Well, let me tell you what they're protesting.
Okay.
They're protesting the labor conditions in third world countries dictated by American corporations that have moved out of the United States and are taking advantage of the cheap labor in third world countries. Now, here's the truth about that. Every American corporation that's gone to a third world country is giving those people more than they could have made from any company that was a company organized and operation in their own country. Every single one of them.
Okay.
Now, it's not anywhere near our standard of living. And it shouldn't be. It should be the standard of living in that country.
Yes.
And they conform to the laws of the country. And because those countries are different than the United States of America, and because labor is generally much cheaper, but what they don't also tell you is that the standard of living is much easier to, for instance, a lot of people who retire move to Mexico. You know why? Because on a retirement check of $1,000 a month, they can live like what it costs somebody up here $3,000 a month to live on.
That's right.
And so when you pay somebody lower in a third world country, you're not condemning them to poverty, especially American corporations who are bringing them actually up from the normal standard of living and the wages that are normally paid in those third world countries. They don't bring them up a whole bunch. You can't do that because it would destroy the economy of the country.
That's right.
But they do it. And they do give them some benefits. I don't know how much benefits they give them. They don't give them a lot, probably. But they conform to the standards of their country. And it's their country. It's not our country. But these people up in Seattle, one of the things that they're protesting against is the treatment of workers in third world countries by United States corporations who have moved their manufacturing plants and assembly plants to third world countries so they won't have to pay lazy American workers who want to get $16 an hour just for tightening a screw on a door.
Yes, sir.
Because of the unions. Now, that's one of the things they're protesting. Another thing is the environmental considerations. In third world countries, you can get along, that don't have laws against environmental pollution, you can get away with operating a factory much cheaper than you can in the United States, which has very strict environmental laws for manufacturing plants and so on and so forth. But it's the third world country that makes those laws, and it's their country, and they have a right to make whatever laws and govern their business any way they want to. It's not our business. But these people in Seattle want a world governing body, the World Trade Organization, to dictate to the United States of America and all of these corporations and the third world countries and improve all of these conditions, and which makes it a world government. That's what it's all about.
Yes. Hey Bill, I'd like to send a Christmas present to Mr. Millionaire, Mr. Self-Made Millionaire, who called last night, if you don't mind.
I've got his address on my computer.
I have this great Rear Admiral methane gas-powered radio that's sold by Art Taco Bell just for it to start. I think he could use it because he sure got a lot of gas to run that baby.
Well, he sure does, but... Okay.
Hey, Bill, good night. God bless you.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-457. Anyway, that's what they're protesting about, folks. They want world government to control all of these things. That's what it's all about. That's why Clinton agrees with the protesters. But you know what? A lot of young people and people who really don't understand what this is all about have joined the protesters who are not part of the organized part of the protest because they think they're doing the right thing. Oh, they're so stupid. It's pathetic. They don't even know what they're participating in. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Louise Rader, and you're in Chicago again?
Hi, Louise.
You know, whatever, it's got all the signatures of the classic Hegelian dialectic, what's going on up there in Seattle. And
it's also got all the classic signature of a KGB operation.
Oh, yeah. Well, whenever I see that, the first thing I start looking at is, what's the synthesis? You know, what's the outcome of this?
Yeah.
And it reminded me of something I remember seeing when I was a lot younger and my brother and my father were into it on television. It's a wrestling match.
Yeah, it's all fake.
It's all fake, yeah. Precisely. And what do they have in wrestling matches? Well, they have the champion.
And they have the good guy.
They have the good guy and the bad guys, of course, are the ones that, you know, they do criminal things and underhand things. They get their butts kicked in the end. They're fighting for the same thing.
Yeah.
And the synthesis is they get fans coming and giving their attention
and money, lots of money,
and everything else. So let me put it this way: I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if, in the near future, we end up seeing stuff like World Trade Organization commercials on television saying such things as, "We listened when the people spoke. We're sensitive to the needs of the people.
Oh, yeah,
we actually listened. We're the good guys.
Yep, yep.
You can trust us.
Yep, yep, yep.
With the whole planet.
Yep, yeah.
And that's what I expect to see come out of this.
Well, you may be right, Louise. You may be absolutely right.
And I like to simplify things. I know some people get real deep into what these dialectics mean, but I think complexity is a weapon, basically, wielded by the enemy to confuse people.
Well, if you really understand, it's not complex at all.
No, it's not.
It's only complex for people who don't understand it.
But like a wrestling match? You know what I'm really hoping for? You know when they choreograph all those moves and everything? Every now and then they screw up and somebody really gets hurt.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And that's true. That would be poetic, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, somebody is really going to get hurt. They're going to drive us into a civil war.
Yeah, well,
and, when that starts, a lot of people are going to get hurt.
Well, then they're going to get their butts kicked like they've never imagined they could ever be kicked before.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely going to happen. But unfortunately, a lot of innocent people are going to get their butts kicked, too.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to think of.
No, I can guarantee you that's going to happen. I fought a war. I know what happened.
Oh, I understand that. I understand that. But
And when you're fighting a civil war in a country where there are so many disparate factions who all hate each other, there's going to be a lot of innocent people going to get terribly hurt.
Well, I understand that concept, but it's what I was finding hard to understand is the notion of this innocent thing, because when you got people that are, as you mentioned, the Illuminati said, when they are willing, stakes on the table,
by choice
face
and
the burden,
consent.
By choice and consent, can you really call them innocent at that point?
Well,
aren't they the reason we got into this mess?
Well, you know what I always say, nobody's innocent.
Right.
But what I'm talking about is people who just literally don't have any idea that anything's going on. And there are millions of them, believe it or not.
Well,
despite all the talk.
Waking up?
Despite all the talk radio, despite shortwave, despite the things that are happening, they're going about their lives without the slightest suspicion that anything's wrong.
Well, a lot of people are waking up. The message is getting out there. And let me put it this way, on a very favorable note, to say that it's getting a lot more difficult with each passing day to be able to claim ignorance.
Well, that's true.
And thanks to people like yourself and Linda Thompson and my postings all over the internet and other communications, but that's beginning to change.
And also thanks to the ravings of the stalker Kurt Lochner, who absolutely cannot put forth an argument and destroys any chance of winning people over to his side when he even tries it.
Well, doesn't he provide a great counterpoint to just show exactly? He provides the perfect bad example.
Yep.
Like I said, well, I've been saying this for the longest time. The enemy is clueless.
Yep.
I think they swallow their own manure. I really do.
Well, they have.
They're looking at the masses, and I just have a hard time thinking of them as the masses, but I don't have a problem with that now.
They can stand. Well, I do. Don't call the people the masses. They're not masses. They're people.
No, I'm referring to the stakes on the table and the beast of burden.
I don't care who you're referring to. They're people. The term masses is used to dehumanize and make them cattle, and we can't do that. You never hear me use that term.
I think they have to make their choice to accept being dehumanized and not fight back.
Well, as long as you refer to them as masses, they'll start thinking of themselves as masses.
Well, it's a contemptible term. The army regards them with contempt.
This is not a point you can win on. They're people. They are people no matter how they act.
I understand that.
And our goal is to make them understand that they're people, not masses.
Oh, I understand the ones that are receptive.
Doesn't matter whether they're receptive or not. Yeah. We have to make all of them understand that they're people and not masses, and you can't do that if you call them masses. It's dehumanizing. It's terrible. Only socialists use that term. Are you a socialist?
Not in the least.
Then stop using socialist terminology. Okay.
How about human flotsam?
No.
Okay. Okay, take it easy, Bill.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Bye-bye.
Well, that brings us up to the top of the hour. Maybe we can take one more call. We can try it. 520-333-4578. If there's anybody out there that wants to get in a quick call and a quick comment, then we'll take it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. I'm listening on the 41-meter band from Montcel, Maine, and I'm upstate New York, and I'm calling. I got three questions, and I'll make it real quick.
Okay.
First of all, I've been listening to you since 1995, and And In the Hour of Time is probably, in my opinion, and of all radio, is one of the best shows I've ever heard. And
thank you.
I called. Number one question is, what is your web address? Because the one century server was wiped out.
WilliamCooper.net.
Oh.
What's your second question?
What's your email?
My email?
It's on Harvest Trust?
It's on the website.
Okay.
What's your third question?
WilliamCooper.com.
No, WilliamCooper.net.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, my third question is, what do you think of Zimmerman's pretty good privacy security and NSA's ability to read it?
They can crack it anytime they want to and read it very easily.
Right. Do you?
They have a state-of-the-art computer facility that's way beyond anything that the public knows about, and it covers like two blocks.
Right.
They can crack PGP in about 10 seconds flat
right, I know
or
about
less.
This, Bill.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Okay. We're out of time. Got to go. Thanks for calling. Well, that's it, folks. We're out of time, and I mean dead out of time. So don't bother calling again. I mean, we're really out of time. I'm up against the wall here. Good night, folks. God bless you all. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. As always, I love you and I miss you terribly this Christmas. In fact, it's going to be very hard for me to get through this Christmas, but I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. And folks, if you love this country, get behind it. You can't get behind it if you don't know what it is, which means that